Alright, so I'm here again with Janice James and my husband John Cummings, who is the backseat driver. So, in Janice's earlier interview, there were several places that she mentioned on the near west side of Dayton that have some significance, especially in the lesbian community. So, we thought that we would just do a little drive-by and take a look at where these places were. Apparently, some of them, the structures, the buildings, are no longer in existence. But, you know, we can at least look at where they used to be and maybe get a little backstory about each one of them. So what I'm going to do is ask Janice to sort of direct me to direct us to the various spots, and then we may stop and take a photograph, or maybe John, if he has his phone handy. For those of you listening to this 50 years in the future, we actually have little handheld phones that we can take photographs on. I know that'll probably seem so antiquated to you, but you know, for us, to have, you know, email, phone, camera, you know, all these different sorts of things on this little device that we could use, take with us anywhere on our phones, is pretty cool. So you may hear some car noise, you may hear, you know, us stopping and getting in and out of the car, that kind of thing. So Janice, we are on, I guess you would call this Lower Salem?
Lower Salem Avenue, yes. And we are right in the thick of things. This building over here that says Richard Allen Academy is where the United Way building was. Yeah, we called it the Red Feather Building because it had a big red feather on the outside of it. And
why?
I don't know.
Why, and how appropriate it was that the gays or lesbians started meeting in there.
Yeah.
I was like, let's find the campiest building that we can find.
So, yeah, this whole section of Salem Avenue at various times was full of gay nightlife or gay assembly places. The original, well, at the time that I became involved with the Dayton Lesbian and Gay Center, it was on Lower Salem Avenue.
Really?
Yes, at the Harvard and Salem, in a little white Unitarian church. That sat on the corner. The thing about Salem Avenue at the time is, you know, when you parked behind the church, often got approached by people looking for handouts. Even then, it was starting to be poor section of town. But I think the first stop is going to be at the first gay bar I ever went to, which was called the Rainbow Club on Gettysburg. So this is that little round church right there was the Unitarian Church, Redemption Gospel.
Okay. So that's at Neil.
It's still standing.
At Neil and Salem, right? I think that's
Neil. Yeah, okay, Neil and Salem. Okay. In that vicinity, yeah. It's been a long time. So when you get to Cornell, you're going to turn left.
And Cornell is coming up here, right?
Yes.
Because I know it runs across over to, I think, almost all the way over to Main Street, too.
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
So why did they call it Lower Salem? Because it's down at the bottom of the hill, so it's like a gently sloping hill.
Yes, and when you get to the portion of Salem where we're at right now, this is Cornell.
Yep.
Sorry.
Oops.
You have more affluent neighborhoods, what were once more affluent neighborhoods. And Lower Salem Avenue was more the business district.
Gotcha.
As it was close to the downtown area.
See, I was thinking that Cornell ran on both sides of Salem, but it's actually Delaware on one side and Cornell on the south side.
And I couldn't remember because I haven't been out this way in a long time.
Yeah, it is interesting in that you can tell driving up and down Salem that, you know, in its day, it was quite sort of a fabulous kind of Tony address.
Mm-hmm.
I totally screwed this traffic up and they're going to hate me.
Well, no horns are honking yet. Somebody to get into the bar because they just let anybody come in who showed up. And
yeah, because you might be the police.
You might be undercover, you might be, you know, who could tell. And so she was coming out to the bar and graciously allowed me to ride with her, and she got me in the door to the Rainbow Club. I was just astounded. For one thing, if you know the geographic history of Dayton, the Rainbow Club is on the west side, which was predominantly African American. Kettering at the time was a lily white community that I was growing up in, one of the suburbs. And so for me to make the trek out to Gettysburg Avenue was an adventure all in and of itself, much less going out there to go to a gay bar.
That's what I thought was so interesting when you mentioned it, because I'm like, Gettysburg? And what? It's like you never would imagine that there would be, you know, a lesbian or gay bar out in this area.
And unfortunately, I don't know the history of the Rainbow Club. I actually tried to find it on the internet. I don't know when it started, when it closed.
Was there anything out there at all about it?
No. I even got to the point where I thought about calling my ex and asking her. since she was about, you know, 25 years older than I am. But she's 92 now. But I think she would remember. At least have a little more of the backstory.
92.
Yeah, yeah. I think at the time that I was first hitting gay bars in the early 70s, they were traditionally located out away from everything.
Well,
they eventually got to be more in the center of town, but the initial ones I went to, you know, they were just out in BFE.
Yeah. That would be Buffalo, Egypt.
Yeah. nothing else around.
Yeah, which, you know, I guess kind of makes sense in a way at that time. Because, you know, then, well, still, technically, homosexuality was a crime.
Yes.
Still. And so it would make sense that it would be...
So you'll turn left. left. This far is Gettysburg.
Yeah, so, Gettysburg. Alrighty.
So as soon as you cross the bridge, to your right is where the bar was.
Mm-hmm. We might have to stop and snap a photo.
Obviously, this is the best of my memory, is that it was just immediately beyond.
Yeah. Bethel Pentecostal Temple now.
Right, yes.
What could be better? Do a little sin, you'll get your soul saved.
That's right. So, right in this...
Wow.
I doubt the building still exists. Obviously it doesn't.
Yeah, so there are a few dilapidated buildings around here. There's Phillips Cleaners. Phillips Quality Cleaners right across the street, and that's definitely closed up. There's some little white building that's here that, I don't know, you think that could have been it, Janice? That building right there? No.
No, I was remembering it sitting back further from the street, but
Yeah. And there is, of course, the Bethel Pentecostal Temple right next door.
Right.
But again, this part of town is heavily African-American, and, you know, you're going to find a lot of fundamentalist Christian kinds of churches over in here.
Can you describe what it was like inside, to your memory?
It wasn't a very large place. As you entered the door, you were in the bar area. There were booths. There was a small dance floor. Off to the right, there was a room that had a pool table in it that was fairly well lighted, and that's where all the lesbians seem to be, is in the pool room.
Imagine
pool.
That.
Yeah. So, of course, that's where I gravitated to.
Sure.
And, you know, at the time they had a beer that had a 3.2% alcohol that 18-year-olds, I was 18 at the time, that 18-year-olds could drink. So, I would buy one beer, and I would just nurse that beer all night, and stand there watching the other lesbians play pool, and just be in my element, because there are other women like me. Things were heavily into being butch and femme, and I fashioned myself to be a, you know, more of the butch type, but I couldn't convince people that I was even a baby butch. They just, they wanted to make me a femme, and it's like, you know what? Femmes aren't treated a whole lot better than women by straight males, so why in the world would I want to be somebody's femme? So, it was a bit of a conundrum, but...
Yeah, you don't see that so much anymore.
No.
I mean, it still exists, right? But not to the degree that it was sort of role-playing. That,
yes, yeah. And, but, you know, a lot of the masculine, butchy women often wear men's clothes, try to look like men, and then they're... Them counterparts would wear more feminine attire and maybe makeup.
So where should I turn to go back over?
Well, this we're almost down to 3rd Street.
Okay.
Now at the light. Take us back. Down there. I could go up
So now we're up by the Veterans Cemetery in Dayton. It's near the VA. The VA Hospital or VA Medical Center.
Favorite hangout then after, or how long did that go on for you? Was that a regular haunt for you for a while?
That was a regular haunt for me, yes.
Like how regular?
As often as I could get out.
Because there's not really any direct way over here.
No, I was
Henry.
I was a freshman in college. Wright State. It was a commuter college. So I remember for my interview, I had father issues at the time. And my mother was in the hospital. She'd had her gallbladder removed, and it was just Dad and I at home, and we were watching television, and I said, it was Saturday night, I think, or maybe Friday night. I really wanted to get out and go to the club. And I said, I think I'll go got for a beer. And he said, okay, which just shocked me. So I got the hell out of there. And the next morning was not pretty. He got me out of bed early, kind of slammed me up against the closet door, called me whore and everything else. And evidently, he had thought I meant I was just going upstairs to the kitchen to get a beer. And he had gone looking for me. Thank God he'd have never found me out on Gettysburg. And he did not know I was going to a gay bar. He thought I was out doing what typical 18-year-old heterosexual women do, and, you know, messing around and whatnot. It was... I didn't tell him otherwise.
Yeah.
I just suffered my fate and went from there. But so up until probably the first year, 18 months that I was out, that was about the only gay bar I went to. And I later moved in with a woman who lived off of Gettysburg, so made the Rainbow Club a lot more accessible. By that time, my father knew where I was going.
Should I turn or keep going?
I would keep going.
Because this is just James McGee, so we're still pretty far west.
So these others on Salem Avenue are squished so close together.
That's fine.
The second bar I ever went to is the Martinique. That was my first experience with a woman's bar.
So special significance.
Pardon?
Some special significance.
Yeah.
Martinique. Yeah, that's a pretty infamous place. You hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Hear it, the name a lot when people talk about sort of history in this area, LGBTQ history. Now, we're at Paul Lawrence Dunbar Street. So, for those who may not know, and imagine people still know about Paul Lawrence Dunbar, he was a writer, poet, some would say activist, African-American here in Dayton. But what many people do not know is that he was married for a brief period of time. Personally, I'm going to say I always thought that he was gay. Right? But the woman that he was married to was a woman named Alice Dunbar Nelson. And she was bisexual.
I did
So sometimes you will read, you know, a biography about him, and it will say, oh, you know, he was married to Alistair Barnelson, and they had a very tumultuous relationship. Short but tumultuous. Short and tumultuous. And part of the reason it was tumultuous is because it's been reported that he was physically abusive toward her because of her bisexuality. So, a little bit of Dayton history.
Yeah, we also just went by the Wright's Bicycle Shop on West 3rd.
The Wright Brothers Bicycle Shop. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that the Wright Brothers first had a bicycle shop.
Bicycles were really big back in their day, too. It was actually the bicycles and not horses that freed people, particularly women, to be able to get around, out and about. Most people couldn't afford to keep a horse or own a horse, feed it, maintain it. But once bicycles became popular, most people could afford a bicycle. And women were permitted, if I would, to ride them. So here we are back at Salem.
So we are on Edwin C. Moses Boulevard, which doesn't become a river view or something.
Yeah.
Just on the west bank of the Great Miami River that runs through Dayton.
So the location of the Martinique was right before you get to what was the United Way building. So it is pretty close to this intersection.
So we're at the corner of Salem and Edwin C. Moses. Just turning. There's a lot of construction going on Salem right now. Lots of orange barrels down through here and behind some big tanker truck thing.
So somewhere here in this lot to White Building, it was where the location of the Martinique was.
Oh, wow, that is right.
Yeah.
Almost at the corner.
Yeah. And as with many buildings, you parked behind it and came out and off the alley, and that was where the woman was shot.
Yes, the woman was shot in the face.
Yes, coming in. And then you have what was the United Way building?
What's happening?
Is he stopped?
Apparently.
Because he can't get through
the... The tanker truck has stopped in front of us. But the driver's out of the truck and he's cute. So... We're just going to hang out here and watch for a minute. So I don't know what's happening here.
I can't get around.
So the Martinique was a lesbian.
Yes.
Bar, right?
Lesbian bar.
So that was like the hot place to go.
And then
There's the Feather Building,
yeah,
right there.
Red,
it's
Feather
now
building.
Sowing seeds of knowledge. I don't know what that is now, but it's a big, long brick building.
And Ragtime's last time was held in this. Ragtime's had many different homes.
So what was Ragtime's again?
It was a lesbian social discussion group. And then it was right in here on our right is where the Cascades were.
Cascades?
Yeah. Now, the Cascades were Betty Greenwood and the Cascades Club. I mean, Betty Greenwood was kind of a body of...
So near Grand and Salem. Near Grand and Salem.
Yes. A body entertainer. And she closed the Cascades in 1974. And shortly after she closed the Cascades is when somebody reopened it as a gay bar. And it was a lot of fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
They still had the green neon sign in the front that has the Cascades spelled out, you know, that we kind of had the running lights. Yeah. And it just always seemed to be a hopping place. It was a rather large bar. Well lit. I always enjoyed going there. I don't know. Again, you know, one thing that you could count on with gay bars, at least back in that day, was that they would be here today and gone tomorrow. And I don't know why they didn't last long. Maybe because they didn't do their taxes, or didn't, or the police would shut them down. I don't know. Yeah. But Cascades didn't last too long.
So that's what it was called, Cascades.
Mm-hmm, the Cascades. Location was the Unitarian, what was the Unitarian Church?
Oh, and that was the church at Neal, close to Neal.
Neal and Salem.
In Salem.
And again, you parked off the street behind it, and people stopped feeling safe going there because of being approached by homeless folks or folks looking for a handout. So they relocated to Kettering, to the Hills and Dale Shopping Center, to a storefront there, which was just, in my opinion, abysmal location. but I was also, with everyone else, kind of not feeling too safe going to that location at night. It was, as with somebody getting shot, I forget if she was coming or going from the bar. Lower Salem was starting to get a pretty rough reputation.
And then they've all sort of moved.
Yeah.
Downtown. And maybe 1470 was out in the suburbs, but.
Yeah, there was a place called The World up on Main Street, at 400 Warren Street, which is about where Butterfoot Cafe is right now. There was a great gay bar.
Where was the place on North?
North Main Street. Yeah. It's called The World. I only went there once. I couldn't locate it. I mean, I might Google it and find it. And it went pretty strong for a while. You know, and like I said, bars would pop up, and next thing you know, they'd be out of business. So, yeah. Once I got into relationships, I no longer frequented the bars that much.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think there are any women's bars now, are there?
Not that I'm aware of.
So, you know, the bars that I know of now are the Right Corner, MJ's, Mask, which is sort of becoming sort of mixed in terms of straight people and LGBT people. Argo's, which is sort of on the near sort of east-north side. And that's pretty much a leather kind of kink fetish kind of bar. Did I miss any? Right Corner, MJ's, Mask.
Stage Door.
The Stage Door. My gosh, how could we forget the Stage Door? It's probably, well, it's the oldest bar now in Dayton and one of the oldest in the state. Yeah. Maybe the oldest in the state, the oldest extant one. So Wayne Kelly is the guy who owns the Stage Door, and I'm supposed to be interviewing him too, but he's trying to avoid me.
Oh.
But Wayne will learn.
Well, you know, and I don't think going to bars is most women's ideal way of socializing.
Yeah.
And so now you have, you know, your meetup apps. There's various lesbian meetup apps where they go to get sporting events like UD Women's Games. Maybe go to the breweries like Eudora's or Fifth Street Brew Pub or something like that. But just going bar hopping, doesn't seem to be much of a lesbian activity. And that was, you know, part of why after Ragtime's folded and the Women's Hour at the Dayton Lesbian and Gay Center folded, that my friend and I started the Lavender Dinner Club.
Okay.
It was because there were no other social outlets, or few.
Well, yeah, and I think as we have achieved greater equality, I think the bars have not been as, they're not as critical to our community or communion, if you will, as they once were, because, you know, for most of the time, you know, up until, gosh, maybe the last 5-10 years, they were pretty pivotal in that they were one of the few places where, you know, LGBT people could gather and, you know, was safe. And, you know, they were sort of our spaces. But as we've gained equality, that's becoming less of an issue. Still somewhat, but not like it was.
Right.
So now we're back downtown and headed back to Janice's house. Salem is just right across the river from downtown, so now most of the bars, all the ones we mentioned except for Argo's, are downtown. Most of them are on Jefferson between 2nd and 3rd Street. Anything else you want to add that you can think of?
That's about it.
Well, thank you. And a little piece of our history captured for posterity.